Salvation is a gift from God to those who accept the way God laid it out. Do you understand that? But now our eyes are being opened. You remember, we are blind. How many of you have to say, it's true? I walked a lot in my life with blinded eyes. I didn't see it. I had not even an idea that it's needed. I was there. I was a religious person. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. I could tell you the Mass. Well, I could recite it, but I couldn't understand it. It was all in Latin. But I was blind. Until God opened my eyes, which is the gospel message. But there's no lordship yet. You have to be first in the kingdom before the king is your lord. You have to become a citizen of a kingdom. Does that make sense? And you become a citizen of the kingdom by simply accepting wholeheartedly that the Lord Jesus Christ did everything necessary for you and me to get the citizenship into the kingdom. And now, new sets of how we live are going to apply. See, when I came from Switzerland to the United States of America, Switzerland has certain rules and laws and regulations, correct? When you become a citizen of the United States of America, you have other sets of rules and laws and regulations. And you have, if you want to be a citizen here, you have to live according to those laws and regulations. This is where we have the big problem today in America and all over the Western world, because people think, I'm going to go into that country and live the way I lived, where I come from. Well, that's what we have in the church. I become a citizen of heaven. But I still want to live like I always lived. That makes you a lawbreaker. And have you ever read in the Bible that lawbreakers will not be citizens of heaven? Do you get the point now? It's pretty simple. So I want to make sure that you understand that. So when it comes to the gospel, it is more than just a personal salvation. That's what Paul called the gospel of grace. It involves Jesus as the king, his death, his resurrection, his inauguration of a new creation, and the future establishment of God's kingdom on this earth, by the way, the perfect kingdom, inviting us today into that kingdom so we can bring as many in there before the king sets it up on this earth. So let's explain the two major themes. I chose the title, The Gospel of the Kingdom of God. So the gospel according to Apostle Paul. How many of you ever heard, there's a gospel, Paul preaches a gospel, Jesus preaches a gospel, there's a gospel. There's only one gospel, by the way. Just let's put that right out there. Okay. These are different segments of the true gospel. Jesus never preached another gospel, neither did Paul. Paul just revealed another aspect of that gospel, how that functions. So the gospel according to Paul. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Remember what I said, believing. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, Paul said. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. In that gospel, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Not from work to work, but from what? Faith to, for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. See, that's trusting God. So, this is what Paul preached. The gospel according to Jesus, we find in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. And now look at the category. To the poor, He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Wouldn't you say all these people need salvation? It's the same message. But Paul reveals later to us that people misunderstood it greatly when Jesus came and did these things. We're going to look at this in detail so you get a good handle on it. The first question, obviously, I already answered earlier on to give you a little head room to get going. Are there now two different gospels, the gospel of Jesus and the gospel of Paul? No. It's the same coin. So, in Mark chapter 1, and that's where we're going to go now, that's the main text. We may going to, I said 16, but let's go all the way back to 14 quickly. Now, after John was arrested, that's John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. See that? And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's what Jesus preached. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. See, when you accept the truth, what Jesus just said, repent, believe the gospel, because the time is fulfilled. What's the next call on a person who says, yeah, I do this? Follow me. See that? Follow me. Not, well, if I feel like it, if I have time. Wherever he leads, follow me. The Bible says, after 6 days of deliberation, they followed him. What does your Bible say? Immediately. Oh, immediately. You should have stopped after one word I said that's not accurate from the Bible. You need to be alert, okay? Immediately they left the nets and followed him. In other words, repentance is a change of thinking which follows with actions according to my thinking. See that? And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired servants, bye-bye, and followed him. Now that's a commitment. And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. What's the scribes? The scribes are the academic guys. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Who is the first one who introduces Jesus as the Son of God? It was not a scribe, a demon. And where did that happen, by the way? Not in the bar down the road. Where did it happen? But they wouldn't go to a church. Demons would never go to a church. Never. We got security team. They would never let one in. But Jesus rebuked them. That's a demon. Saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit convulsing him, crying out with a loud voice, came out to him of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout the surrounding region in Galilee. Now I want you to see quickly before we go further down. Jesus is just telling that the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. He goes teaching. And what is the response of his teaching? The first response recorded of his teaching is coming from the supernatural realm. From a demon. Welcome to modern church services in the United States. Could you imagine, you want to clean out a 5,000 people sanctuary in 3 minutes? Have that kind of event happen. And you know what people say? I'm never going back there. This is reality. This is about the kingdom. When the kingdom of God is presented, there is power behind it. People may be blind and asleep and don't believe it. But believe me, the supernatural realm knows when the Spirit of the living God is at work. So the disciples, remember, they just followed him. They probably go, whoa, 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 I need to reconsider this. Look what happened here. What would you do? Jesus just called you to follow him. You follow him into a synagogue, safe place. He's teaching him from the Torah, which they all knew. Nothing new under the sun there. Until a demon who has a man tormented. You know what would be first thing that's going to my mind? Maybe I have one too. I've got to be next in line. How do we know? I know you would never think that way. But have we ever done something wrong? Couldn't be a thought penetrating our mind that we maybe need a cleaning too. It's not recorded, but it is implied. Because the question was, a new teaching with authority. We're not used to that. He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him. It's recorded here. The Bible tells us in the next few verses, and immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Remember, he just called them to follow him. Now Simon's brother-in-law, mother-in-law, lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. And she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. How did they know that these were demons? You know, these people are uneducated, correct? That's what I always hear from the smarties these days. But they knew when somebody in the family had demonic problems. You know, today we go to the emergency room, correct? Trying to fix it. Let me tell you something. Down the road, as we're going to look at the power of the gospel for God's kingdom, you're going to find out that there is much more power if you follow Jesus than you follow anything else the world can offer you. Doesn't matter what kind of illness, what all the issues we have. It doesn't matter. When God gets into the picture, there is nothing impossible for God to do. And it's a part of the package deal, how he operates in his kingdom. Remember when I said when Jesus comes and presents the kingdom, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Correct? And he says, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty. Liberty means you are in bondage, but he's going to set you free. Okay. He said the captives need to be recovered. You know, they are blind. The blind people need to have their eyes open. And he goes and he proves it as he goes along. And he uses the physical manifestation of it, which then Paul said, let me give you the other side of the coin in the gospel. There's also a spiritual bondage. There's spiritual blinded eyes. And God can open this when you repent and follow Jesus. It's the same gospel. Different manifestations. People bring demon-oppressed people to Jesus. And listen to verse 33. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. That's the kingdom presentation right there. You don't need to ask if the king is here. He's taking care of these problems. Remember? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand. It's available. It's right there. But you have to repent and believe that gospel, that good news. The kingdom of God isn't primarily a physical place. That means what we call a realm. You need to understand that. You know, the kingdom of God is not a certain group of people. But rather, it's God's active, sovereign rule and reigning, like a king exercises authority in his kingdom. So we cannot say, like we would love to say, well, America is a Christian nation, so technically that would be the king rules here. How many of you know we are far from it? But there are people in this nation, and especially when we started this nation, their principle was, let's live according to the written word of God, because that's where the blessings are being found. It's almost self-preservation. And then later on along the road, we obviously emancipated from that, you know, Fallbauer idea, you know. We are far beyond these cave dwellers. We know what's going on. And then God allowed the truth to be spoken and to be printed. So we all have a $1 bill in our pocket, correct? If you have only one, you're poor. If you have two, you're rich. No. And we have printed on it what? And which God picture is on there? It's the pyramid with the all-seeing eye, correct? That's a masonry Lucifer. Being revealed to us. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be put into a box of Americanism or for any other nation for that matter. You can't do that. This nation was blessed and used by God because we followed the instructions of the book. If you violate it, and you go away from the reign of God, the blessings of God and the power of God is not available anymore. It's not a geographical location. Just because you come to church and this is a church building, say, in the church, this is a church, that's where God rules and reigns. I have some news for you. This church is in existence for 25 years. And I've seen a lot of things going on in that church that were not God inspired. In some cases, demonically inspired. Because God's rule and reign has nothing to do with a building or even with a church. God's kingdom has to do with those who are letting him rule and reign. That's where God's kingdom rules. If I would take your family today and say, is God reigning in your family? I can guarantee you, you are a blessed family. And I'm not just talking about physical blessing. The most important blessings are the spiritual ones. This is why the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, not whose God is God, the one who rules and reigns. So it's not located in a certain thing where the king is getting access and the authority to rule and reign and establish his lordship. That's where the kingdom is. It's that simple. It's not a geographical location. I wrote it up for you. You may want to look at this. It's God's kingship in action, bringing his will, his justice, and peace to earth, to Jesus. So it's about his lordship, not just a geographical location or a church building. Do you understand that? I can give you a very simple example, but that's the way it is. Let's say you were living for 5 years in your own home. Okay? And in that home where you raised your family for the last 5 years, you could literally sense God's ruling. I mean, awesome. Wonderful. Now you get a different job and you gotta move. So if Jesus' rule is connected with that house, good luck. Where you gonna move, you want Jesus to come with you. And he's gonna move into the new house with you. So it's not geographically, it's where you are and you let him rule, that's where he's at. You can go all over the world. He is not limited. He doesn't need an airplane, okay? He goes with you and you let him rule there, and that's his kingdom, right there. Does that make sense? You got that? Okay. Not all of you are sure? You want me to start from scratch again? Let's go with me to Matthew 16. Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. By the way, it doesn't hurt if you flip the pages. Let's go quickly to 28, verse 28. So that's going to be your last verse, and then we're going to 17. Here's Jesus with his disciples. And how many of you know they expected Jesus to inaugurate the physical kingdom during their lifetime? So Jesus said, truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. Okay? He's talking to his disciples. He's in Caesarea Philippi, one of the most wickedest, demon-infested area. There were so many shrines, bells above unto Satan. And he stands and tells them, oh, by the way, some of you, and he knew exactly who they are, some of you will see the kingdom, the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, being presented. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. These are the ones who are going to see the kingdom. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking to him. How come they recognize Moses and Elijah? I know. The name tags. In the kingdom of God, when you see God in his kingdom, instant recognition of everything. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they started dancing. What did they do? They fell on their faces and were terrified. They just had their eyes open to the reality of the kingdom of God and who the king is. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. They just got verse 28 experienced what Jesus said. And thus they were coming down from the mountain. Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Only you could see that kingdom. The other one's going to come later. So, we don't need to discuss when does the kingdom of God come. He said it's at hand. It's right there. And God allowed them to see, these three, to see what actually these things look like, what it is. So, if you go with me to Luke, Luke also has another aspect of the kingdom, and he looks into the supernatural realm and the spiritual battle. And we're going to look at that. That will take me a little bit more than 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month to go through it, how the kingdom of God operates in the supernatural. There's a lot to learn. So if you go to Luke chapter 11, begin reading in verse 14. Jesus is teaching. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. That means made the person not being able to speak. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub." Beelzebub, they understood, is one of the rulers of the demons, correct? And I always wonder, how come these not so well-trained and thinking people knew the hierarchical structure of the supernatural, and we don't have a clue in the church? While others, to test him, kept seeking him for a sign from heaven, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Listen, here is the ultimate teaching about kingdom and its power. Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and the divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand?" Satan has a kingdom. Satan has a kingdom. These are not my words. These are Jesus' words. "For you say that I cast demons out by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out?" Stop there. Obviously, the religious leaders' sons and followers, sons, that means they are the pupils who learn these things, how to operate in the supernatural. He said, so they also casting out demons. And Jesus asked him, "By which power?" "Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God," that one you want to mark in your Bible. "But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, and he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? So what does Jesus teach? What does he teach you? By the way, the finger of God is a biblical expression symbolizing simply divine power. Okay? This reach of the supernatural world into the natural, the spiritual into the physical. And it has to do with a direct intervention, and obviously we call that God's miraculous acts, you know. And the finger of God was at work in Egypt when God conquered not the people of Egypt. The Bible clearly in Exodus tells us that God fought the rulers, also the gods, Elohims in the Bible, of Egypt. And for each one of those they worshipped, he had a plague because he was stronger than they. He plundered them, see? Yep. That's the whole thing. Oh, by the way, the Ten Commandments, what does the Bible say what God used? Written by the finger of God. That doesn't mean, that means by the power of God, right. See? So, the authority of God, the Ten Commandments, what we call the Decalogue, they are so powerful, they apply to every situation in our life. Because the source of invention and bringing them to our forefront to understand is behind God. God is behind these things. So, well, Jesus casting out demons, and the finger of God is a metaphor. I mean, if you know that, a metaphor is not, oh, he went with the finger and poked them. You know, we have so many stupid people in the church. Well, we have to translate everything literally. It says finger, it's a finger. So those people are very unhappy with you on the road and give you a finger. Did they give you the finger? In California, we call them the Hawaiian good luck sign. I think every state has its own little interpretation. It's a metaphor. We all understand what the signal was, correct? And as Christians, we don't use that finger. See, metaphors are bringing a message across. And so when Jesus said, when I cast out demons by the finger of God, by the power and authority of God, it is stronger than Beelzebub's finger, so to speak. He cannot guard it because I'm stronger and we're going to take the spoil, which obviously is, in that particular case, souls from the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of God. So very, very important. But if we would stop there, we would do not justice to these scripture verses. If you go further down, okay, we just started in 14, started reading, and then Jesus makes an additional comment, which is so important. In verse 24, when the unclean spirit has come out of the person, it passes through waterless places. That's another way of saying wilderness. How many of you know in the Bible, wilderness is the domain of the kingdom of darkness? And he's seeking rest. A demon cannot find rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. Don't you ever get into that crazy stuff that you want to help somebody to get delivered from a demon, okay? And then you don't present them the gospel of the kingdom of God because you leave a vacuum behind and the demonic world will make that person seven times worse off than he was with one demon living there. Right. By the way, for those of you who are sharp thinkers and good listeners, in verse 24, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes. It's not he or she. It's it. You want to know where transhumanism is coming from? From the supernatural evil world. There's no such thing as a boy all of a sudden wakes up and wants to be a girl. Listen, we grew up as normal kids. Oh, by the way, I got married when I was 5 years old. Did you know that? I have pictures to prove it. I did not know what happened. But when I met my wife, I told her, I said, I just want to let you know that I was already married. She goes, what? So the neighbor kids got one of those little strollers, put me in there with another girl, and they thought it's great to have a wedding. When they had a wedding, the girl and I, we had not a clue what's going on. You know? That's normal when we play these things. That's normal. It's child play. But when it comes to identity, who we are, when God brings you into this world as a boy, what do you think he wants you to be? Oh, you sure? I'm saying that I was just listening to the big discussion where the question was asked, by the way, to a medical professional. Please tell me, can a male get pregnant? And the person did not answer it. Listen, that person should never have a license to do medicine, period. That's stupidity. This is not a religious issue. Okay? This is a demonic issue. There is only one world, the demonic arm, who has one thing, and that is destroy as many human beings as you can. And it destroys our kids. And that garbage is projected to our kids, to the educational system. So, well, I'm not here to say we're going to have to come up with a new educational system. I'm here to say, church, wake up. My wife gave me a shock this week. She said, I just got a list. You know, we are subscribing to so many different things, and those passes you get downloaded with all the newest information. And so I think was, if I remember correctly, the 12 newest trends why the churches are growing so immensely. And one of them was finally embracing transgenderism and that kind of stuff. It's one of the 12 points. And obviously I'm going, we have more problems than I thought we will ever have. See, the church, I don't care about the world. The world is what it is because the church doesn't do the job God has assigned her to do. Okay? So, and this is why you and I need to learn to stand firm, because I don't know if we're in the end times. And you probably go, Pastor, you should know about all the things happening. Listen, 1,000 years ago, okay, there were people in Pennsylvania selling every farm, and everything went up and up on the hill and said the rapture takes place. Okay? That was 1,000 years ago. Midnight of 1,000. That's history. And then obviously 88 reasons why God is coming back in 1988 and all this garbage. We lived through it all. So when I say, I don't know, and I really don't know, but I do know that we're in a time when man is so confused about what God has created and what God has not created. What God tolerates in the church and what does he not tolerate. We are totally confused. And if you come from a church like this and you want to come here, you have an education ahead of you, I tell you that right now. And I'm not apologizing for it. We should have a lot more churches where the leadership is absolutely straight shooting, no matter what the society thinks. We have never, ever been called to please the society we're living in. Never. We're here to please the king. And so we just tell you the way it is, and it's sometimes not easy to swallow. But so, every kingdom divided against itself is laid to waste. By the way, every nation divided itself will be laid to waste. Think about that. So Satan has a kingdom. It's called, obviously, in the New Testament, the kingdom of darkness. And in that realm, there is not just, you know, Satan. He says, well, we can handle him. You know, God conquered him on the cross, which is true. But this is a realm, a spiritual realm, where rebellious divine beings are operating. You have ever asked yourselves, I assume, how can the world go to pieces as fast as it did the last 3-4 years? Have you ever wondered yourself? You're probably too young to understand, but I grew up in a season where you could walk from your home, from my home, to go to school was a 30-minute walk. There was not an iota, not a second my mom was concerned that we would get kidnapped or that something would happen to us. We had no cell phones to call in. Mom knew, the sun goes down, we are in the home. It's that simple. If you think you should escape and maybe come up with your own idea, you didn't want to see your dad coming home. You prayed that he goes to the bar first. Not a good idea. There was discipline. You were held accountable. I miss those days. Because if you would raise your children, I have a lot less problems as a pastor. You know? But it is a reality. There is a spiritual realm that is corruption and evil. You know, so it's not just Satan. And we got some presentations in the physical realm during COVID. So we have a president who was kind of standing behind him was like, I had flashback from Nazism. You know, you remember those pictures? And he told us we better do what he tells us to do, correct? Which is not the president's job to begin with. So, well, we found out he was only a puppet. There were other people behind him who did all the moving and shaking, you know? And how did you find out? All the things, the papers that were signed were auto pen signatures. Nobody knows who signed them. And I told my wife, I said, this is God revealing to us how Satan and his kingdom works. He has people out there, but behind it there are these Elohims, these spiritual beings, who are more wicked than you and I could ever imagine. And the church as a whole does not even want to recognize this as a spiritual realm. We just, it's the top, you know, only crazy people. Also, well, one of my elders told me the other day, he said, you know, I ran into so-and-so, he is a lawmaker, and so he asked him, where do you go to church? He said, I go to Victory in Jewel. Oh, that's a crazy guy. I'm not mentioning anything, so, but anyway. And I looked at him and said, what did you say? Well, nothing. I said, oh, man! You know, you should have told him. When you believe what the Bible says, unquestionably believe it. You are considered by other believers that you're crazy. Yeah. But I'm going to bring you to Galatians. You thought you're going to get out of here. No, I can't let you go right now. Are you still alert? Yes. Go to Galatians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul. And remember, we're talking here about the good news and the kingdom, and you can't separate them. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. This is a warning. I am astonished, this is Paul writing, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. But Pastor, didn't you tell us at the beginning? There is no different gospel. It's only one gospel. Oh, yeah. But because in verse 7 Paul said, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. See, Satan does not invent anything. Satan is taking that which is pure and perverts it. Does that make sense? Anything he tries to pervert. This I always say, if you are pervert in thinking, you are prone to pervert everything that's found in the Bible. See, when people have perverted talk, I don't believe you that you believe the Bible. Because your mind is programmed for perversion. This is why when guys, and now I heard women, you know, over 50% of the people who are on pornography are actually women. Can you believe that? It's insane. But I tell you, my friend, Satan is behind that perversion. And don't tell me, man, I tell you this, don't tell me that God cannot set you free. And you don't need to go to a 12-step program. I always say God has a one-step program. He sets you free. On whom he sets free is free indeed. Okay? So if we are not going for that, we have turned our eyes and ears towards another gospel. A perverted one. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. These are strong words. The Greek text literally means, let him spend eternity apart from God's presence. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one who you received, let him be accursed. Or my advice is, stay away from these people. If you go to a church, I've been in a church that is deviating from the true gospel, move. If you have people, you know, who have the whatever they have, and they come up with all kinds of crazy ideas when they get together with you, say, you know what? I don't need that. I want to be pure gospel. Your opinions don't count. But you lose a lot of friends. I hear it all the time, and I say to the people, you need to stay away from these people. But they are my friends. I said, not if they tell another gospel. They're not your friends. That's an illusion. You need to stay away. How many of you know if you play games with the devil wins it every time? Every time. You can't play with him. Because he has an entirely different idea than you have how that works out. But what Paul is pointing out here is that there is only one gospel, and that gospel can be distorted and perverted. And we're going to take a look at that later on when we look at all these kind of different gospels out there. And you go, really? I can give you probably 25, 30 books from my bookshelf without even thinking about false gospels out there. It's unbelievable. But I think there's also a great misunderstanding about the kingdom of God on how that really works. And you know, Michael Heiser wrote a phenomenal book, The Unseen Realm. I know, Matt said, is that another one with 400, 500 pages? That's his favorite saying. And I said, what else would you expect? So, but according to Michael Heiss in that book, he says, God's kingdom is in an already but not yet state. It was inaugurated already with Jesus' coming, we just saw that, existing now in the spiritual realm and through the church. Listen, that kingdom lives in the church, in the believers. That's where the kingdom lives. That's where the power of God is. It's in the believers. And the church is where the believers, true genuine believers, come together. And so, but he says, but it is not yet consummated in its full physical global manifestations on earth, which awaits Christ's return for globalized Eden, where divine and redeemed human councils rule. I still cannot believe that the church thinks we're going to go to heaven. I got cloud 69, you got 68, hopefully 52, a little bit further away from me. I like a little real estate around me, you know. And then we just float there and hope that the guy we never liked in church doesn't float right next to me. No. God started out with Adam and Eve, and he carved a little garden out of this whole creation, made it beautiful, and then gave him an assignment. From this place, you are going to go, and I gave you the authority over the entire creation down here. And you're going to make the whole earth like Eden. I will guide you. Well, obviously, here comes the supernatural realm into action. And if you just take, you know, God doesn't mean that you're going to die. You can do everything, you know, in your own ideas. And obviously the fall happened. And this earth, by the way, still beautiful, but never Garden of Eden, correct? So what is God's ultimate goal? See, this is the kingdom not yet. God needs to come back because we are not capable of making this world the Garden of Eden. We always say, oh yeah, we are capable, I tell you. No, the people have the most power and the most money in the world. They don't want to make this earth a better place. They want to go to Mars. I tell you what, the sooner they leave, the better for us. Let them have Mars. I don't go up there. You know, they can have it. This earth is a beautiful place. But when God is coming back and he rules and reigns with the church, my friends, you have never seen anything like it. Can you imagine pure water streams? Pure air. No windmills. No farmers spraying chemicals. Where did all my apples go? No such thing. It's pure. That's when Jesus comes back. But for that, some people believe that we have to make sure that all the governments are infiltrated by church people so we can correct the problems in this earth. And once the church has finally control over those elements, then Jesus comes back. How we ever came up with that idea is through an Elohim who has perverted the true gospel. That's how we came up with this. It's not a biblical text. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. We're going to wrap up, otherwise the business meeting is not going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, also the Apostle Paul. He didn't have to introduce the church of Corinth about the supernatural realm because they had already up on the hill, you know, Aphrodite's temple. They knew that demons are everywhere. They knew that Elohims are everywhere and ruling and reigning. So, and then Paul is hitting him where it goes right into the church family. So there were people who have some issues with one another and they didn't want to solve it in the church, so they go to court with one another, correct? So Paul says in verse 1, so when one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Mark that in your Bible. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels, that the Elohim, these supernatural beings? How much more than matters pertaining to this life? Wow. He's telling the Christians here, and he's telling you and me, that if they can handle such cosmic responsibilities God has given us, okay, for the future, we better get our act together And I have to tell you why the church cannot solve the problems. Because people are not loyal to the church. If I confront somebody in the church, they have the home church within 3 days. I'm not going back to the church. You can't correct the problem. They do neglect authority. We should be able to solve problems. And not according to my idea or their ideas, according to the biblical text. So I don't know where that's going to go. It's probably not going to go better. But the Apostle Paul said, don't you ever think that you can exercise the incredible responsibility to judge the world and judge angels when you can't handle that issue right now, a small issue. Not going to happen. In other words, you have been deceived all the way down to the lowest level, that you believe that you are going to be a part of the judging saints when you cannot even handle the smallest discrepancy between how you maybe think or act, or you don't like it. Not going to happen. Because for us to advance the kingdom of God, we need to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, the full gospel, not just be saved, but the full gospel. And in those good news is also the government, the way God works. And you know what? You and I are not in charge. There's a king. He's in charge. And he delegates. And you say, well, I don't like what he delegated to me. Well, that's not my choice. You know, always say, everywhere you are, that you came this morning, you say, well, that was my decision. Maybe the Holy Spirit nudged you a little bit, correct? How many of you can help, need a little help every so often to go? The Holy Spirit is at work. I call that a supernatural intervention of what we call soft power. You know, it's not, you know, it's soft power. And we just think I need to do this. And you do it, and you go, that was a blessing. He arranges things every day. And you go, well, I don't believe in miracles. Well, how did you get there? How did you came to an appointment which you never planned, and there was just exactly what needed to be done? Or you get an answer which you were looking for so long, and it just happened? Who do you think is in charge of that? Yeah. Oh, it's me. It's my super intelligence, you know? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the Holy Spirit loves us way too much to let us go too crazy, correct? So Paul was an incredible, incredible tool in God's hands throughout the time he was down here on earth. And he's teaching us so many wonderful things. So I'm going to finish up with one scripture verse. I promised you that earlier, correct? So I take it back. Let's go to Colossians and finish it up. In chapter 1, it's one of my most favorite chapter in the epistles. We go down to verse 9. If you have never really studied this, you should. It will lift your heart up and you soar. He says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Listen, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, spiritual wisdom. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The wisdom is spiritual, the walk is physical. Fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen, don't go one-sided, just good work and no knowledge anymore of God. There's a balance there, see that? Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power. How many of you could use still a little bit Holy Spirit power? Strengthen all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain, that also means the kingdom of darkness. He has delivered us from it and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In other words, it signifies rescue from Satan's power and entrance into God's kingdom is a work the Holy Spirit does, because if we are still influenced by the kingdom of darkness, it is our choice. We need to change the dial on our radio, the frequency. We're on the wrong frequency if you're being influenced. This is just an overview of the gospel and the kingdom, not separated, but combined into one. Did you get that? Let's go and thank the Lord for it. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. You are so good. If you give us just a portion of what we're studying and reading together and encouraging one another together and apply that to our lives, Lord, I know there will be breakthroughs in the individual lives, family lives, church life, even in our nation. Lord, there is so much we have access to once we're in the kingdom of God and get our marching orders from the King. I'm just asking you to challenge all of us, encourage us, that we will tap into the resources the King makes available to us. We can advance that kingdom one soul at a time, as they're being snapped from the kingdom and the influence and domain of darkness, and bring them into your kingdom and see the glorious freedom which only you can provide. Lord, I thank you. What a privilege we have coming together, just challenging one another to be more available to you to do your work. And what a blessing it is one day when we stand in your presence, seeing the wonderful things you have accomplished, sometimes even using small people like we are, not important people. But the work you do is important. And Lord, we're just thanking you for every day having something prepared for each one in this room, each one who's listening, just to be available. So when you want to move, we are available. When you want to advance the kingdom, we are available. When you want to confront the false gospel, we are available. Lord, whatever you have for us, we are available. Here we are, Lord. We want to follow you all the way through it. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet.